Turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 10. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus uses a very simple picture. He pictures himself as a shepherd, a good shepherd. And of course, a shepherd must have sheep, particular sheep. A shepherd doesn't just wander around aimlessly, just taking care of any and every sheep he might meet, sheep in general. No, a shepherd has his own sheep. He has particular sheep, sheep which belong to him. And so the Lord Jesus has particular people. People who belong to him. They are his sheep. There is a particular group of people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus thinks of those people as his property. He is responsible for them. He loves them and cares for them in a way he doesn't care for other people. That is the subject of these verses. The relationship that Jesus has with his special people, with his own sheep. Now I said that we would be looking at five things about this relationship here in verses 1 to 18. The first was this: the good shepherd calls his sheep. You see that in verses 1 to 6. The good shepherd comes to the sheep pen. And in that sheep pen are many of his sheep. But they're all mixed up with other sheep. They are already his sheep. But they're all mixed up with the other sheep in the sheep pen, sheep which don't belong to him. And so the good shepherd calls to his own sheep, and they recognize his voice, and they come to him, and they leave behind the other sheep that are in the pen, and they follow the shepherd. And that is what happens when a person becomes a true Christian. That's how a person is converted. The Lord Jesus has his own people. People who have been chosen by God the Father to belong to him. But these people are all mixed up with the people of the world. They're no different from anyone else. But then the Lord Jesus comes, and he calls to his own people individually. And they hear his voice. They repent. They believe. They come to him. They leave their old life in the world, and they begin to follow the Lord Jesus. The good shepherd calls his sheep. And then secondly, we saw the good shepherd cares for his sheep. In verses 7 to 10, you see the shepherd leading his own sheep through the wilderness. There are all sorts of dangers. There are robbers. There are wild beasts. But the good shepherd cares for his own sheep. He is the gate for the sheep. He lies down at night and puts himself between the sheep and all the dangers. He promises the sheep that they will be safe. Verse 9. He leads them to pasture so that they'll never starve. He guarantees them life. Verse 10. Life to the full. More abundant life. That's the good shepherd. He protects every one of his sheep. He cares for them. He guards them. If one of his sheep starved to death, or if one of his sheep was stolen away, Or if one of his sheep was eaten by wild beasts, then the shepherd would have failed. But the good shepherd does not fail. He will not lose one of his sheep. And that is the Lord Jesus. Those people who belong to him, remember, they've always belonged to him. Long before they knew him, God the Father had chosen them to belong to him. And then the Lord Jesus called them, and they came to him, and they put themselves under his protection. Well, he's not going to fail now, is he? He's going to guard every one of them. He's going to bring every one of them safely through the wilderness of this world to heaven. He is personally going to guard them and feed them and share his own abundant life with them. And then the third point. The good shepherd dies for his sheep. That's what we looked at last week, verses 11 to 13, verses 17 to 18. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how precious his sheep are to him. He is willing to die for them. All the way through this passage, the Lord Jesus, without saying so directly, is comparing himself with the official Jewish leaders, the priests, the teachers of the law, the clergymen of the day. They are the people he's speaking to, and they are the people he's speaking about. They are supposed to be shepherds. They've been appointed to care for the souls of God's people. They are the official shepherds of Israel. But Jesus says about them, verse 12, they're just hired hands. They're just doing the job for the money. And a hired worker doesn't really care about the sheep that he's looking after. If he thinks that the job is too dangerous, then he's just going to run off and abandon the sheep. But how different it is with the good shepherd. He loves these sheep. He cares about them so much. They belong to him. He is wrapped up in them emotionally. He'll die for them. He knows the danger from the start. He knows what it's going to cost him to care for these sheep. He knows all about those wild beasts out there. And he is willing to pay the price. He is willing to die for these sheep if that is what it costs to make them safe. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. All the way through John's Gospel, we've seen the Lord Jesus taking sinful, helpless people under his care. Simon and Andrew and Philip and Nathanael in chapter 1. A wretched, promiscuous Samaritan woman in chapter 4. A pathetic, blind beggar in chapter 9. These are Jesus' sheep. And even as he calls them, Jesus knows what it's going to cost him. He's going to have to die for them. He can only promise these people life if he is willing to take their death on himself. He can only take them under his protection if he's willing to expose himself to the danger, to the wrath, to death itself. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to go to a place called Calvary. And there he's going to be handed over to the wild beasts. Satan and all the demons of hell are going to be unleashed against him. And he's going to be torn to pieces by their viciousness, by their hatred. They're going to be allowed to torment him. They're going to be allowed to torture him. They're going to be allowed to fill his mind with black and agonizing and tormenting thoughts. Unspeakable things are going to happen to him in the darkness. It's going to be a dark, dark night for the shepherd. And in that dark night, he's going to face the wild beasts alone. He's going to put his own body between his people and the destruction they deserve. He's going to defend his people, and he's going to lay down his life to do it. He's going to do it willingly. No one could force him to do it, but he will do it by his own willing choice. He's going to do it obediently. He's going to do it because it's the Father's will. The Father gave him these people to protect, and he's going to do it now, whatever the cost. He's going to do it lovingly. Even as he screams and writhes in agony on the cross, even as he's broken and tortured for the sins of these people, he is still going to be loving them. They're going to cost him everything, but he's not going to grudge it, because he loves them. He loves them. He never stops loving them. It's their selfishness. It's their wickedness. It's their greed that's brought him to this pain. But he's still loving them. It's they who have broken his heart, but he's still loving them. Having once set his love upon these people, he is never going to stop loving them. Even when loving them means utter heartbreak, he's going to lay down his life for them. Willingly, obediently, lovingly. And he's going to lay down his life for them with a purpose in view. All the way through, we've been seeing that it is for these sheep that he dies. That is the purpose. He is dying with a particular aim in mind. He lays down his life for these particular sheep, in order to rescue them and to safeguard them. Now, there are many Christians who have not clearly understood this. They've been taught that the Lord Jesus died for others. But they've been left with a very vague impression of what that means. They're left with the idea that somehow the Lord Jesus just died for everybody, without distinction. And now it's simply up to those people whether they get any benefit from it. And there are many, many people, well, Jesus died for them, but it will do them no good in the end at all, because they don't believe, and they will still be lost. Many of us were brought up to think like that. But how different that is from what Jesus teaches us here. Here we learn that the Lord Jesus laid down his life with a definite purpose in view. He has his own sheep. The sheep who belong to him. The sheep whom he calls, the sheep who follow him.
And it is for those sheep that he lays down his life. He has come, end of verse 10, so that they may have life. And that was why he died, so that those sheep will have life. That was the price he paid, so that those particular people will live forever. His death was not a failure. When the good shepherd laid down his life, he was buying life for all his own sheep, the sheep he loves so much. And what that means is that every one of those sheep will have life. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, I could spend a long time applying this morning, showing you different reasons why this is so important for us. But let me just give you one reason why this is so vital to understand. How dishonoring it is to the Lord Jesus if we think of his death as being aimless and ineffective. What a picture. The shepherd wandering around, not really sure which are his sheep and which aren't. Laying down his life, but not really sure who he's doing it for. Not knowing who's going to benefit from it. Realizing that most of the sheep will be lost whatever he does. Even if he dies for them. Even by laying down his life. He can't actually be sure of saving any of the sheep. He can't guarantee that any of them will actually be safe in the end. After all, in the end, if the sheep are wayward, well, whatever he does, they're going to be lost. Even his death isn't going to be able to save them. So the shepherd just wanders around doing the best he can. Isn't that an appalling way to think of the plan of salvation? In fact, if you think like that, you can't talk about the plan of salvation. All you can say is that the shepherd has a vague hope that he'll be able to save some of his sheep, but most of the time he fails. How glad I am that it isn't like that. How glad I am that I'm not in the hands of a bumbling, ineffective shepherd who tries to save but can't. How glad I am that I am in the hands of this shepherd, this strong shepherd, this shepherd who knows his own sheep. And who guards his own sheep. And who lays down his life for his own sheep. And who buys them so completely that they are going to be his forever. And who guarantees absolutely that not one of his sheep, the sheep that he's bought by his sufferings, that not one of those sheep will be lost. How glad I am that I have that sort of infallible shepherd. A shepherd who doesn't leave things to chance, but who plans from the very beginning what he is going to do, who knows the sheep he's going to call, who knows the sheep he's going to die for, who knows the sheep he's going to bring safely to their eternal fold. What sort of shepherd is it who returns looking apologetic and says, well, I've lost 9/10 of my flock, but it's not really my fault, you know, because they were very wayward and very stupid and very obstinate and very lazy sheep. I couldn't help it. When the Lord Jesus took charge of his sheep, he knew that they were very obstinate and very wayward and very stupid and very wicked. That's why they needed a shepherd. A shepherd who's strong enough to save them despite themselves. A shepherd who will die for them rather than let one of them be lost. His plan was to save wayward sheep. His plan was to die for obstinate, stubborn, stupid sheep. His plan was to guarantee eternal safety to wicked sheep. Now, isn't this the sort of shepherd we need? For those of you who already know you're Christ's sheep, doesn't this give you the security you need? You feel at times so stupid, so lazy, so wayward. You can't believe at times how you get yourself into the same awful tangles again and again. You're horrified at times by the waywardness, the wickedness of your own heart. You're amazed at times that in the morning you can meet with the shepherd and promise the shepherd obedience, and by lunchtime you're over the hills and far away, wandering off into the wilderness. You're amazed at how perverse your own heart is. But you're in the care of a shepherd. A great shepherd. A good shepherd. A strong shepherd. A shepherd who has paid an awesome price for you. Not for the human race in general. But who chose you out and who paid an enormous price in order to own you. He laid down his life for you in particular. And he has guaranteed that he will keep you. He has guaranteed that his saving purpose will not fail. Oh, at times he'll make you smart for your waywardness. When you're determined to wander off, he'll let you go so far. And then you'll find out how painful the thorn bushes are. And how wretched it is to drink poisoned water. And how silly it is to be 1 inch further away from the shepherd than you need to be. Oh yes, at times he will leave you to flounder in all sorts of marshes and bogs. Because you need to learn. You need to learn how important it is to stay close to him. And yet this good shepherd will show in the end that he is stronger than all your folly and all your sin. Having bought you with his blood, he will not let you go. That is the great reassurance that this truth gives to those of us who know we are Christ's sheep. We can say, this shepherd who plans, this shepherd who controls, this shepherd who lays down his life for particular people, people whom he certainly plans to save, this shepherd can be trusted. He can be trusted to keep us to the end. And let me say this to those of you who are not yet Christians, to those who can't say that you belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't this just the sort of shepherd that you need? If I talk to you about a well-meaning shepherd who just loves all sheep and who does his best to look after all sheep but fails in most cases, could you trust yourself into the hands of a shepherd like that? Such a shepherd might be okay for a perfectly good, perfectly sensible, perfectly healthy sheep. But that's not you, is it? You're a diseased specimen, full of wicked traits and wayward impulses. You know how weak you are. You know how liable you are to go astray. If you had to keep yourself from falling for one day, for one hour, you know you couldn't do it. Well then, what sort of shepherd do you need? You need this shepherd. This strong shepherd. This infallible shepherd. This shepherd who loves his own sheep with a love that never changes and never fails. This shepherd who guards his own sheep night and day. This shepherd who dies for his own sheep and promises that every one of them will have the eternal life that he's paid for them. Now you can trust that sort of shepherd, can't you? You can trust a shepherd who has never lost one sheep yet. In all the hundreds and hundreds of years of Christian history, millions of people have come and trusted themselves to the Lord Jesus. And all of them have been wayward people. All of them have been obstinate sinners. All of them have been stupid and silly and foolish. All of them have had twisted, sinful personalities and character. All of them have been the sort of people who wander off every moment by nature. And yet, he's not lost one yet. Well then, can't you trust him? Can't you trust a good shepherd who died for his own sheep and bought them so that they belong to him forever, and so that he will never lose one of them? Why don't you go to that shepherd now? Why don't you put yourself under his protection now? Don't wait for him to call you. This is his call to you. Trust yourself to him. In all your weakness, in all your sinfulness, trust yourself to this good shepherd, to Jesus Christ. The good shepherd dies for his own sheep. But you can only know you are one of his sheep when you do trust yourself to him. When you do come as a poor, helpless creature needing an almighty saviour. You know, there are people who say, well, if I only knew that God had chosen me, if I only knew that Jesus Christ had died for me personally, if I only knew that I was one of the chosen sheep, then I would come and trust Jesus Christ. But it's not like that. The only way you can know that you are one of Jesus Christ's sheep is by trusting him. He invites you to come as a poor, weak, helpless, sinful person, and to trust him to be your saviour. You know, there are people, again, who say, I'd love to be a Christian. I'd love to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to trust him to take away my sins. I'd love to follow the Lord Jesus. But I know I can't. Because I know I could never keep it up. I know I would fail. I know that after a week or a fortnight, I would go back again. I know that when my friends started laughing at me, I wouldn't be able to handle it. And so that's the reason I don't become a Christian. Because I know... If you were strong enough to be a Christian, you wouldn't need the Lord Jesus to be your shepherd. The reason you need the Lord Jesus to be your shepherd is because you don't have the strength, because you're weak, because you're the sort of person who is always going to wander away. That's the way you must come to the Lord Jesus. You must come to him saying, I cannot trust myself. I know that I don't have the strength to keep it up. I know that I could never guard myself. I know I would wander away and be lost. I can't trust myself. But I'm going to trust you, great shepherd. I'm going to trust you to take me under your protection and to guard me. I believe you died for sinners. And the one thing I do know is that I'm a sinner. And so I'm going to trust you. And as you trust the Lord Jesus, you will know that you are one of those sinners for whom he died. And now the fourth heading in these verses. Fourthly, the good shepherd knows his sheep. Chapter 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, here in this verse, at one level, the Lord Jesus is simply saying that he knows who his sheep are. I know my sheep. When the shepherd arrives at the sheep pen, and all his sheep are mixed in with the rest, he knows straight away which belong to him. He recognizes them. I can look at a flock of sheep and they all look just the same to me. I can't tell them apart. But the shepherd will always recognize them. And so the Lord Jesus is simply telling us here that he always knows his own sheep. There are people living, we trust, in this neighborhood around us. And there are people in the places where you work. And there is no way we can tell that they've been chosen by God. But the Lord Jesus knows them. He already thinks of them as his property and his responsibility. And of course much more. The Lord Jesus knows who his people are when he has actually called them. You know, for us... It can be very difficult to discern who are true Christians and who aren't. There are unsaved people who look very much like true Christians. They live good, upright lives. And they believe the things that Christians believe. And they attend gospel churches. And they're baptized. And they listen to the sermons. and they take the Lord's Supper. They may very well pray in private and have regular quiet times. To all outward appearances, they look just like true believers. But their hearts have never been changed. They've never known what it is to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit before God. They've never experienced the new birth. And maybe they can talk about it and explain it to other people and even urge other people to be born again. But they've never themselves really been drawn to Jesus Christ. They've never trusted him as Saviour. Now, looking on people like that from outside, it's impossible to see whether they are true believers or not. They look just like Christ's sheep. Very likely they themselves think they are Christ's sheep. I'm told that if you bring up a puppy in a litter of kittens, it'll think it's a cat. These people mix with Christians. They sing the same hymns as Christians. They follow the same lifestyle as Christians. They think they are Christians. There are those people. And on the other side, you have people who may be true believers, but you feel you've got every reason to doubt it. They're thinking so muddled, and at points what they believe seems so far from the Bible, and their behaviour is so inconsistent, and at times the way they behave is simply disgraceful. And you wonder if they have any real prayer life at all. And they seem to have little appetite for the Word of God. And maybe there are long periods when they seem to be nowhere spiritually. And you look at a person like that and you ask, can this be one of Christ's sheep? Does this creature really have any spiritual life at all? Often we can't tell. Yes, we can see all the problems and the weaknesses. But it could still be that this is just a very weak, very sick sheep. A very diseased, damaged specimen. You know, when the Lord Jesus calls his sheep out of the sheep pen, some of them are in a dreadful state. Some of them are crippled. They're damaged in all sorts of ways. Some are full of diseases and parasites. Some are emaciated and starved. And it's going to be a long, long time before they look like healthy specimens again. Some of them are going to stumble along very slowly. And other sheep are going to do silly things along the way. They're going to eat poisoned weeds. They're going to get stranded in places where there's no food. And they're going to suffer for it. And it may be a long time before the shepherd restores them. And in the meantime, when we look at them, we just don't know whether they're Christ's sheep or not. But he does. That's what we're being told here. For us, there are many people of whom we have to say, well, we just can't tell. The picture we've got is so blurred, so confused. But for the Lord Jesus, the picture is crystal clear. He knows every person here in this room. He knows your heart. I cannot tell which of you belongs to Christ and which of you do not. I have to treat you all alike. I have to preach to you all. I have to warn you all. I have to encourage you all. I have to pray for you all. I have to hope for every one of you that you are Christ's sheep. And I have to fear for every one of you that you may not be. And indeed, I have to deal with myself just as I have to deal with you. I have to be asking myself every day, Stephen, are you really one of Christ's sheep? And I have to fear and tremble at the first sign of wandering. And I have to rejoice whenever I feel the shepherd restoring me. I don't know my own heart infallibly. And I cannot know you. But the Lord Jesus does. He knows every one of you here this morning. And he knows those of you who have hearts that love him. And he knows those of you who don't. Some of you he loves. Some of you he cherishes. Some of you he guards. Some of you he is bringing to glory. He knows you're his. And others of you he knows are not. He knows that in your heart of hearts you don't love him. You don't want him as your saviour. He knows that in your heart of hearts you're happier without him. You would rather have your freedom, in other words, your sins, than be under his control and his protection. He knows those who belong to him and those who do not. But surely the Lord Jesus is saying more than that. He doesn't just say in verse 14, I know who they are. He says, I know them, and they know me. Yes, I know them, I recognize them as my sheep, and yes, they recognize me as their shepherd. But more than that, I actually know them, and they actually know me. He's talking of intimacy, isn't he? He's talking about the profound, deep, personal knowledge that two people can have of each other. When two people draw close to one another, and when they open their hearts to one another, and when they begin to understand one another. You know, there are some people whom you've known about for years. Maybe you've spent a lot of time with them. You've worked in the same place as them. You've gone to the same church as them. And then one day, you happen to be thrown together with them for several hours. And during those hours, you talk. And at the end of that time, you say, you know, I never really knew Tom or Mary or whoever before. Oh yeah, I mean, I knew all the facts about them and where they lived, and but I never knew them before. But now I feel I'm beginning to know him. Now I feel I'm beginning to know her. In other words, there's an intimate, there's a personal knowledge. The Lord Jesus says here, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. The Lord Jesus doesn't just know about God the Father, and God the Father doesn't just know about the Lord Jesus. They know one another in an unimaginably intimate, tender relationship, in which they share every thought, every feeling, in which all the desires that the Father has, the Lord Jesus shares. And all the longings that the Lord Jesus has, the Father understands. Every concern that is in the Father's heart is shared with the Lord Jesus. And every concern that is in Jesus' heart is taken up by the Father. They are one, the Lord Jesus is going to go on to say that. I and my Father are one. That's how well they know one another. And the Lord Jesus says, that's the way I know my sheep. I understand everything. Every concern they have in their heart, I share. Every pang that they feel, I feel it too. Every right longing that they have, I long it for them. I know them. Oh, my whole being is swallowed up in their being. And they know me. More and more my sheep come to know me. They know every thought that goes through my heart. They share my interests, my concerns, my desires, my feelings. As the sheep walk with the shepherd, they come to know the shepherd. They know in advance just what the shepherd is going to do. They can guess exactly how the shepherd and where the shepherd is going to lead them, because they've been walking with him in this sort of intimacy. Through all our lives here, we are growing in knowledge of the shepherd, if we are really his sheep at all. Every true Christian should be able to say, I know my shepherd. I know Jesus Christ. I'm coming to share his thoughts. I'm learning to share his concerns. I grieve over the things that grieve him. I delight in the things that delight him. I'm learning to see things the way he sees things. I'm walking with him, and I'm knowing him. And as we go through the years of our life, we know him better and better. And one day when we see him, we shall know as we are known. Every true Christian should be able to say, I know the Lord Jesus better than I did a year ago. There are things I didn't know about the Lord Jesus that I know now. There are things that I hadn't learned from the Lord Jesus that I've learned now. There are things that we didn't share a year ago that we share now. I've come closer to him. The good shepherd knows his sheep, but the good shepherd also leads his sheep into the knowledge of himself. Well, may God grant that that will be our experience every day of our lives, and then on into eternity. Amen. We'll sing together hymn.